Hello, West Liberty. This is Cam. You are listening to WGLZ College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, I have Marcus Spencer here with us for an interview. Marcus is from Alabama, and he played college football at the University of Alabama. During his time at Alabama, he played 47 games and started 36 of those. He recorded 300 tackles, 22 tackles for loss, 24 passes defended, and 11 interceptions with 205 interception return yards. After Marcus graduated from Alabama, he signed with the Tennessee Titans and also played for several teams in the Canadian Football League. After his playing days, he was a personal trainer and a football coach at several different schools on different levels, and now he currently coaches the defensive backs here at West Liberty University. First, I want you to explain what your childhood was like and what it was like growing up in Alabama.
Well, my childhood was, it was typical childhood of somebody growing up in Alabama during my time. Both parents at home, me and my brother, when both parents worked. And as kids, you grew up knowing that, you know, you had relatives that were around and friends that were around. But it was like one of those things where back then, it was like you knew there was always a cause and effect. Mm-hmm. Like some people call it discipline, but it's just cause and effect. If you did something wrong, you got affected. Mm-hmm. If you did something right, you got affected. So it's cause and effect. And then growing up, it was one of those things I just never forget. When I was young, I was asking for some money one time. I'll never forget. It was like, your job is to be a student. When you got A's, you can get money. A's and B's, you get a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Anytime you get a C, you get no money. Mm-hmm. So it was just one of those things that growing up, I was like, all right, so my job is to get good grades. So I got to get good grades. Mm-hmm. So when I kept my A's and B's, I got things that I needed and a couple things that I wanted. But when I got C's, no D's. When I got C's, it was like, nope, can't get nothing.
Yeah.
So it was during those times, it was fun. And the cool part about growing up in the country, rural area, middle of nowhere, is you don't have to worry about a bunch of violence. So when I grew up and went to different places, a lot of things were eye-openers for me. Like I knew what was going on, but then when you see it up in person, it's like, wow, like this place is like, dude, it's a lot of violence around
here. Yeah.
In the country. So it was just one of those things, like in the country, people are like, oh, you're the country, and blah, 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 and country boys. Like, yeah. You grew up hunting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to, you know, hunt game to eat. It's another thing when you look at TV and you see people hunting like the ultimate game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, nah.
Right.
I don't like that too much. So as I've gotten older, much as I move away from rural areas,
mm-hmm.
I love them because, yeah, it ain't nothing to do. Man, we're about to get shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was more of a smaller town that you grew up in?
500 people.
Okay, so you kind of knew everybody.
Oh, yeah. You knew everybody. Yeah. It was one of those situations where if you got in trouble over here, call it a fact.
Yeah. So what kind of recruit were you out of high school?
Oh, so my junior in high school, I had two HBCs recruiting me.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I thought, hey, you know, I can get a full scholarship because that's what I was told. My senior year, had a really good senior year in football, basketball, track, and baseball.
You lettered in all four, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's typical, man.
Yeah.
When you live in the middle of nowhere, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You play all sports. You're a good all-around student. Mm-hmm. Anytime you do something good, it's like, yeah. You have no competition.
Mm-hmm.
So my senior year, same two schools, been here from. We had a D3 school at the time, it's now a D2 school, and then I went there for a camp, didn't hear from them. One of the guys who I knew from there, who worked there with the football team, came down and talked to me and was like, have you committed anywhere yet? I was like, yeah, I'm going to Alabama. He was like, for real? Congratulations. I said, no, I'm going to be a walk-off. He was like, oh, for real? He was like, well, shoot. We may have something for you. I was like, no, I'm going to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I have a full ride, I'm going to Alabama.
Yeah.
He was like, I understand that. Because it was just one of those situations of, when you're in a small town, 90% of the time, either you're going to go to college, hopefully off of some kind of scholarship, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Or go to the military, then go to college. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. I knew I wouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
No. As far away from that pistol play as I possibly
could. No, I hear you on that.
Going to the military. I was not going to tell somebody. This is the thing that I thought was hilarious. I got a lot of relatives in the military. I have more than enough, like, love and, like, respect for those in the military because they do something that most people don't do. They don't die for us to be able to be a TikTok. So, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I talked to them, all of my relatives was like, the Army is great. I've disciplined you, get you where you're going and all that other stuff. They was like, but you don't need that. I said, like, what do you mean? I said, like, you don't need discipline. You're fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a great athlete. You got all of us, you're disciplined. He was like, they literally told me, don't you worry about the military. You stay away from it. You go to college. You're the type of person that's built for college. I'm like, I already know that. I was like, this is the conversation that y'all get.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were giving a conversation one time about not being able to shoot the enemy because you may hit a civilian. Nah.
Mm-mm.
If somebody's shooting at me, you better not be in between me.
Right,
and
right.
Because I'm letting them fly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come home alive.
Yeah.
And in one piece. So I'm like, nah, never going to the military because you ain't going to sit there and tell me I can't shoot the person that's shooting at me because I'm innocent. Innocent shouldn't be that.
Right, right.
You know you ain't innocent. Like I said, no disrespect, but I just knew it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But being in the middle of nowhere, I'm from the state of Alabama. If the coach from the University of Alabama calls you and asks you if you want to walk home and you have nothing else to do, you don't say no.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to college anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing football for 4 years. What's four more about you?
Right.
In the worst case scenario, I may get on the field. That was the worst case scenario. My worst case scenario in college was you may get a chance to get on the field at the University of Alabama. That's a great worst case scenario.
Like. Right, yeah. Yeah. So, what was Alabama football team like back then? Because nowadays you hear Alabama, you think national championship almost every year. So was it kind of the same like that whenever you're playing, or
was it
different?
Going back towards that.
Okay.
They had been on probation when they had won a championship previously. They came off another 10-win season. I showed up. You could tell that some of the, I guess, the caliber players might not have been what they were, but like my class and the class after that. So my class was a good class. They got off probation. Then we had three class in the nation, two class in the nation, one class in the nation. So we will rebuild, like what we're doing now. And my junior year, we were one play away from playing for the national championship. I say that, people go, what do you mean? We break up one pass, we're playing for the national championship. It's not even a joke. So we rebuild back up just like they are now. And the SEC has always been pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
It's a physical, fast, dominant conference when it comes to football. So when I got there, I'm like, oh, you know, just like everybody else in high school, I'm really good. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not even ready for this. The kind of smoke you're about to get right now. You ain't used to that. You used to that, like, that light smoke that's been, like, diluted.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that SEC smoke.
Heavy.
You show up that day one, you realize you're not ready.
Yep.
Then you have to make that ultimate decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to stay here and deal with this, or do I want to cut bait? Well, guess what? I ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So I dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. So in 97, you guys went 4-7, correct? How was that team able to rally together and turn around the next season, 98, going 7-5 to the bowl game?
We had no choice. Like, that's the thing. That's the thing that I love about when you're in that situation, in the FBS school. When you go to an FBS school and you play in a sport, like, you have really true, like, I want to go play as a professional.
Yeah.
And that was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go play as a professional. The coaches that are there, they're all getting paid in beautiful, handsome money to do what they do. So everybody has the same goals. Coaches want to get paid. Players want to get paid. So when next year comes around, you know that the coaches are recruiting because you don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, wow. For your first year, you don't really realize what's going on. But after you've been there for a year, you realize, okay, they're out recruiting. So I got to pick this up because
for sure.
Going to recruit my replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And I got two choices. I can step up to the challenge, or I can help my replacement just go ahead and walk by me. They're not going to care. So with that group, as they brought in other guys, that's that offseason. I remember that offseason vividly. First time playing, we're going through this offseason. I'm like, yeah, buddy, like, we should work. Oh, that was an understatement. We worked like they did what they were supposed to do. They worked us. Iron sharpens iron, they sharpened us. So we took that step that year. And then that next year, 99, we got some more guys that came in. Because that 98 group that came in, a freshman, they were some dudes.
Yeah.
They were some dudes. And then after a year being there, weight training, offseason, 99 season, that offseason right there was one of the toughest offseasons I've been part of. But the reason why we won those 10 games was because of that offseason.
Yeah.
Like, everybody bought in, coaches, players. Like, it was the most beautiful thing ever. It was just like, the next guy behind you was pushing you.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, it was just, we're going to go for that chip. So we definitely finna go for this SEC chip, but we trying to get that end chip.
Like, yep.
If we get that national chip, we all gonna have fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of that's going into my next question. So in 99, you guys went 10-3 and finished 7-1 in the SEC. What was it like beating Auburn at their place for the first time ever?
Oh, it was the beautiful thing ever. Just beat them.
Yeah.
The thing that was crazy was, it doesn't matter that, just like any other rivalry game, it doesn't matter what the record is.
No, yeah.
I'm right there. I'm tired of hearing people, it's big, but it's not that big.
I think it's pretty big.
Michigan, Ohio State, and they keep coming on this nonsense. I mean, go on, find something. If you come down there, and if you ever go to an Iron Bowl, like most people I've met who decide to go to one, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know it was going to be like that. Dude, it's pure hatred. Like, I didn't hate Auburn when I grew up. We didn't care anything about it. I was never a fan, except for, like, I knew they had Bo Jackson as a good player. Get to Alabama. Like, literally, it's instant. They didn't play them. God, I hate these guys, for real. But that year, first time being back at home, this, like, the coach was like, we got to beat them. Man, that's fine. As players, we were just like, nah, dude, we got to win this game.
Yeah.
Like, if we lose this game, we're going to have to hear about this. So we got to win this game. We won that game.
So then your senior year in 2000, you guys didn't have as much success. You guys went 3-8. What was the difference between that year and the year in 99?
Oh, so that right there was, that was one of the reasons why recruiting is important. That was one of the reasons why holding a certain standard is important.
Yeah.
Like, it is. Because that year, the previous year, we had starting these guys who went down with injuries that weren't ready. My senior year, their next previous year in 2000, or guys who got hurt during the summer of camp. Defensive end, they end up going to the NFL, got hurt. Defensive tackle, they end up going to the NFL, they got hurt. We had a middle linebacker who was one of the best in the nation who would have been going to the NFL. He was out. We had another DB. He was out. We had two backups on defense. They were out. There's seven guys.
That's big.
Our left tackle, who was best in the nation, he was gone. We had to replace him. The guy that came in, the guy that was there to replace him, got hurt. So we had to use the guy behind him. Our starting running back, who was one of the best running backs in the country and was an MVP in the NFL. He was gone. The guy who was backing up him was good, but our third and our fourth string was better than him. Yeah, that's crazy for a pilot.
Yeah.
Better than him. And we had so many pieces that was either hurt or just not ready yet.
Yeah.
That when we hit the field, we didn't hit the field with the guys that we needed to be successful. Because we didn't have enough. Like, if we'd have had all the guys, because when they came back next year, you saw that they had a very good year. They had like eight games. Because they got the majority of the guys back. They lost some of us, but they got the majority of those guys back. So, and it was just one of those situations. It was a perfect storm for us to lose. So, if we'd have had the same kind of talent we'd had the year before, we would have had a really good run. When you lose that
Yeah, that's crazy.
Have a replacement for them, that's what happened.
So what was your favorite memory from your college career?
First time I got a chance to go. The first time I had a chance to go and play in my very first game. My first year there, when they told me it was a redshirt, I was like, cool, I can learn. First game of the season, you know, because I gave all my tickets away because I wasn't going to the game, except I saved two for my parents, so they could come and go. And people were like, dude, you're not going to the game? I said, nah, I'm not going to go to an Alabama game until I play. And everybody went all, and a couple of guys just said, well, I guess you won't go to a game until your senior year. I was like, nah, I'm going next year.
Yeah.
The guys just laughed at me, like, ha, 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 ha. So the next year, that first game, when they saw the travel bag there, and I was like, dude, so you travel, you going to play. And yeah, I was like, well, I guess you proved us wrong. I was like, break some down to y'all. Love y'all, dude. But I didn't prove y'all.
Yeah.
I didn't prove anybody.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to get out of this field and make plays. And then, if I'm lucky enough, I can keep playing and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Trying to make prove y'all wrong. I love y'all. I do. I'm not trying to prove y'all wrong.
Yeah.
Trying to get paid.
So, what was that moment like whenever you signed with the Tennessee Titans?
It was the second most beautiful thing ever. First one, when Coach Hallman, love him to death, called me and wanted to know if I wanted to come to Alabama. The first one.
Yep.
My second one, when I get a phone call from Tennessee, hey, well, I got multiple phone calls, but when you get that first phone call, hey, we really like you, we want you to come on field, yada, yada, yada. What can you ask for?
Yeah.
Because the most important thing is to get in camp. And once you get in camp, that's when your magic happens.
Yeah.
So getting that phone call was literally like the second coolest thing that ever happened to me in my life, because there's no way as a kid growing up. If you'd have told me when I was in high school, hey, you're gonna play in the NFL, I'd have laughed at you. You'd have told me when I was in high school, you're going to play for the University of Alabama and represent, not just play, but you're going to represent, you're going to be one of the guys that may play. I looked at you and told you, I would have told you, take whatever it is you smoking, put it in a box, in a nice little area with a lot of foot traffic, and be rich. Because it's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I never had any inclination of
going
to play college football as a professional. My thing was, I'm going to go to college, get a computer science degree, go out and make some money, get married, kids, raise family. Do that.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, may play a sport. Nope. Turn out to be.
So, how was your time in Tennessee?
It was awesome. Like,
how long were you there?
I was just a camp.
Okay.
If I got hurt, you tell me what would happen.
Did your knee?
Oh, my ankle had a high sprain, so I was out for 7 months. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful part about it is, so always, for anybody listening, always update your email address. I mean, not your email, but your home mail address.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, email and everything, when all that popular was, but I got hurt, they released me, normal. They sent me a letter for me to come back. Had the wrong mail address, never got it.
Jeez, yeah. That dang.
Exactly, so always update your mail address, always.
All right.
Save your life.
All right.
But when I was in camp, the thing about being at Alabama, SEC, my coaches, I love them to death, all of them. All my position coaches, everybody who worked there, in the offices, strength and conditioning coaches, definitely my strength and conditioning coach, he used to always just literally be on me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't let you just be useless. But him and other coaches, especially our strength and conditioning coach, like, all right, senior year or junior year, especially if you guys know that you probably come back senior year, but he's like, all right, everything you're doing now is job interview. Everything. You
know? Yeah.
You're going to get, somebody going to call it. When they do, when you get there, from day one till you leave as a job interview, you ain't there to make no friends.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't there for nothing but to get a job.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, that's cool. I've been abused all college. It's more abuse to be all right. I'm going to get paid, though. But it's cool.
Yeah.
So you get there. First thing you realize, working out ain't free. They pay you to work out, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So got you in a nice hotel, 3 meals a day, paying you to work out. Now they're just trying to gauge, what are you worth us spending our time? So
mm-hmm.
You get there, I'm one of those guys on completely business the whole time.
Yeah.
They know you got guys that's like, oh, I'm having fun,
mm-hmm.
made it to the NFL. I didn't want to make it, I wanted to be there for a while. So business. The whole time I'm just business. Workouts, practice, meeting rooms, everything, business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that it's veteran guys here who you've been watching on TV.
Yeah.
Played against some of them, but these guys, hey man, good work yesterday. Oh, hey man, you working out? Join us. But you, these guys started to like warm up to you.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, help us win.
Yeah.
And then you see them like avoid other guys because they'll be gone soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of those guys that took it as a business decision, true business. And to me, it was great because I already got the ability, got the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now you learn that business side of being a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Because the athletic side is awesome, but that business side is the one that a lot of people can't get past.
Right.
Because I've seen a lot of guys go to the NFL, get cut, some come to the CFL, and then they understand the business side and they go back.
Yeah.
But they had to learn the hard way that NFL doesn't need you. If you think the NFL needs you, quit.
Yeah.
See if it shuts down.
Yeah.
And like it was just one of those things. So camp, that's what, when I was there, I had I was blessed to have coaches who got me prepared to be there,
mm-hmm.
because if I wasn't, I'd have been like some of the guys I saw part of their way out in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what was it like playing in the CFL, especially compared to the NFL?
So, food for thought. A lot of people, when they hear NFL, CFL, it's all CFL, you know, it's just CFL. You got to realize, a lot of guys come from the CFL and go right to the NFL.
Yeah.
So it ain't that big of a job.
Right.
So when I get up there to the CFL, my whole mind frame is I'm fresh off my injury. I'm up here. I'm going to spend a year getting myself right so I can get back to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but I'm going to go in the same way, business mind frame, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
So I get there. I'm in camp. I'm working. Same thing like in the NFL. These guys who were there, joined up in the NFL.
Yep.
Same thing. They watch you work.
Mm-hmm.
So we camp for 2 weeks. About, I say 3 days in the camp, the guys who've been there, the guys who started, start talking to them. Hey, what's going on? Like, you from Alabama?
Yeah.
Just chopping up, talking. One of my roommates, because there's three of us in the apartment. One of my roommates comes over, hey, what's going on, guys? They just look at it. And I'm like, he don't understand. I'm like, he went in the NFL camp, so he don't understand what's going on. So this thing to myself, wow. I already had the idea he was going to be on the first thing smoking. But them guys, knowing what I know and whatever, I'm like, yeah, he up out of here. He ain't going to be here too much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, but CFL was just like NFL. Like, I get there. You know, you don't have the high caliber athletes of everywhere, but still the same difference. You got guys that are trying to get there. And my first game playing in the CFL, because you got two preseason games, you got 18 games for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So my first game, I'm out there on special team, backing up, and went out there helping out. Me and the old lineman have a bit of an issue, because he's trying to cut me, and I'm like, dude, you're 300 pounds, and you're trying to cut me this time.
Yeah.
So I hit him, next play, he got mad and upset and whatnot, and game's over with. I'm walking by, he was just like, dude, you know, if you keep that up, you going back down to the crib. I was like, that's the plan. Like, I'm not, I love this country, it's beautiful people, everybody's nice. I'm trying to go back to the crib.
Yeah.
Get that real hype.
Uh-huh.
But it was hilarious because as long as I kept that attitude, everything was going the way I wanted it to.
Yeah. So that kind of goes into my next question. What was it like living in Canada, and how long did you live there?
I was in Canada for 3 years. It was actually pretty cool. The coolest part about, the thing I love the most about Canada, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, is you can't have a gun in there. So you don't have to worry about no gun violence.
Okay.
So it was 1 year, it was two people got shot. And it was just like, because we had a game that Saturday,
mm-hmm.
two people got shot like on Thursday or Friday, something like that. And it was like, all right, we need to come together as a country,
yeah.
all this stuff. And like, me from Alabama, buddy from Mississippi, one from Georgia, one from Texas,
mm-hmm.
one from Florida. Two from Florida, one from North Carolina. And we was just like, two people got shot? Come to Jesus. Bro, that's a Tuesday morning. Like, gun jam.
Yeah.
But, like, that was the thing. Like, the sense of security and, like, safety was unbelievable. And if you think about when people talk about the South, they say, oh, people in the South are so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Canada. Like, you walk up to a random person, like, you ask them for directions. Oh, you're from the States, aren't you? Oh. And they'll just start talking to you. All right, cool. If you need anything else, just let us know. We used to walk with you. No, I'm good. Take me nowhere. Do that to me. But people are very nice.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Nice. Another thing that blew my mind. So if you talk to somebody from Canada, you go, what's your background? They will run a list of their whole heritage. Like, I had one dude sit down. He literally was like, oh, one of the guys on the team. He was mixed with like 15 different things. I'm looking at him going, and he was like, and yeah, like he said, and you, let me guess, African American. That's all we know. Was just the pride that they have in themselves of being kind, compassionate, mm-hmm. and just good people.
Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. So, what was your favorite moment from your professional career?
Stepping on the field.
Yeah.
Like, I'm for real. Like, yeah. People, might as well step on the field. Because.
That's really what it's about.
Take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a good football player, things just seem to happen. No matter how hard you work, it happens. So you kind of take it for granted a little bit. Since I was a walk-on, absorbed everything. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah.
I never forget a guy was like, dude, you play football like you. Like, you love it. I'm like, wrong with you. It's the most dangerous thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collision every time the ball snaps.
You gotta love it.
Contact. It's collision.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta throw your body into somebody. Like, that's the craziest thing I've heard in my
mm-hmm.
life. You know when you're done playing football, your body's gonna be banged up and damaged.
Yeah.
But you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy, but I mean,
it sounds crazy.
That's really what it is. Yeah.
Like, you can't play football and just be is. No, you got some up here. Got to be a little wrong.
Yeah.
When you play football.
Yeah. All right, West Liberty, we'll be right back with this interview after this short break. This is the Hilltop Hip Music Station. You are listening to WGLZ West Liberty. And we're back, West Liberty. So, Coach Spencer, 2002, you went back to Alabama to become an assistant defensive backs coach, correct?
No, I was in 2002. I was in the CFL, so I went there training. And I was mm-hmm. out.
Okay.
So I was still training because it was an off season, and I was there, and I was like, "Can I help out with second?" Sure.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because I was gonna ask, because whenever I was doing my research, I saw that you were still in the CFL from 02 to 04, and then I saw that, and it was just kind of confusing. But so in 2009. You went and played in the indoor football league?
Yeah. And guy who was a huge Alabama fan knew me, and he asked me, hey, do you mind? I was like, sure. I'm like, I still got a little bit of tank and did it. Wish I wouldn't have did it. I pulled it out of my mind. I just wish I would not have done that.
Yeah.
It was fun, but I just wish I wouldn't have did it.
So, like, in the time, you just weren't ready to stop playing, and you had to go back?
It was just like, I'm like, yeah, indoor football, nothing like major.
Yeah.
Like, it's $200 a week. Let's have some fun
mm-hmm.
right out there. That's it. I just thought it was hilarious because there was guys out there who was just like, man, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get back in the league. I'm like, they not.
Mm-hmm.
If you was in the AFL, maybe. Here, probably not.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of wanted to ask you to explain how the indoor football league was different than the NFL and the CFL.
No, it's a lot different. The shorter field, short field, fast pace, like the caliber of athletes different. The discipline of the guys is a lot different. It's something fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About it. Yeah.
How long did you play there?
I was just for the season.
Where at?
Oh, God, it was in Odessa.
Where's that
Texas.
At? Okay. So how was that, and you being a little bit later in your career and going back to playing, how was your body, and were you still in shape? Were you still good to go? Okay.
I'm still working out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still fairly young-ish.
Yeah.
hadn't got to the geriatric stage. But no, I was still working out all the time, and I had a buddy that I played with, me and him, we'd work out and like be in the gym, just stuff that I used to normally do. So I was still in very good shape.
Yeah.
Could I line up and play like SEC style football?
No.
Mm-hmm. NFL, CFL? Probably not. But that right there was easy.
Mm-hmm. So when did you stop playing and become a coach, and what made you make that decision?
Oh, well, I was a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had stopped playing after that. I was a personal trainer. And literally, a guy who I was training with was like, dude, why don't you coach? And I was like, dude, first off, in order for me to be a coach, it'd take a miracle. I was like, I'm so far past my playing days. Mm-hmm. I know guys, but I don't really know guys. I know a lot of my buddies coach now.
Yeah.
Reconnected with a lot of them. But at that time, I'm all over the place. And really, they doing what they're doing. I was like, I'd have to find somebody who would be nice enough or crazy enough to take a chance on me.
Mm-hmm.
He told me about this website. So I went to this website, and I was looking. And that's when I learned about the NAIA division.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, and I was like, is this the guy who I played in the CFL with? They were looking for a DB coach, GA. So I sent him my resume. Lo and behold, it was him. The guy who I played in the CFL with, who I knew. So I sent him my resume. He was like, I was doing an interview, and I said, look, are you the same? He was like, yes. Okay. I was like, so we know, yes. Oh, okay, cool. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I knew somebody who knew me.
Mm-hmm.
My background. I was like, yeah, we'll take a chance on you. It worked out. Went down there. We had a pretty decent season. 4-7. Better than we thought we were going to be. After that, came back to Chicago. Worked at a high school. The year before, they went 1-8. We went 4-6. Went to the Catholic League playoffs. Lost. Then the next year, it was this, one of the guys who worked out in the gym that I was in. He worked at the school that I ended up going to, Fenwick, and he was like, every day, I mean, every time I saw him, hey, you need to come to Fenwick, you need to come to Fenwick, you need to come to Fenwick. I'm like, no. He was like, just come to one practice. So I was like, all right, cool. So I went to the practice, and I was like, hold up, that's dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They had that senior class, I think they had three guys to go FBS. So they had some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of them showed up. I got damn it, give it a shot.
Yeah.
So we there, and the thing about it is we beat that team the year before when I was at that side.
Yeah.
And like we should not have beat them,
mm-hmm.
but we beat them. So that year we go 8-1, and on the team that we lost to on regular season was Loyola. Makes sense, one of the top schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So. The guys there, it was hilarious because being around high school kids, it allowed me to be a better coach because when you're coaching high school kids, you can't yell at them, can't do all those things because they're in high school. Go with the tank. But these guys were different. Like, I yell at them. That's all you got, coach?
I've heard you yell, coach.
That's all you got? Said, like, but these... They wanted, it was, these guys were football players. They wanted to win. Like, they went, I think, the year before they went 4-6, and they hated every bit of it. And it was like, 4-5. They were 4-5, they hated every bit of it. And then this year, we went 8-1. And it was just like, you could just see the joy and enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we lost the semifinal game, the team that we beat. Like, we win that game. Oh, I don't care what nobody said. We win state championship.
Mm-hmm.
We had a team. But we lost that game. Tina beat us. They went on and got demolished. We're not even just saying that. We said we'd have won.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought was awesome, both stints in high school, the coaches, administration, even the parents, was like, thank you. We hope that you come back. And to me, that's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
When you come to a place, and then if you leave or people don't, we hope that you come back.
Yeah.
Love that. That means I did something positive there. The thing that's crazy, one of the guys that I coach at Fenwick, who I think he just recently graduated, hit me up the other day. Like, hey, coach, just wanted to see how you doing, blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I will deal like I normally do. Staying out of trouble. you ain't being no Henderson parents. Like, mm-hmm. Just type of person. Like, come on, coach.
Yeah.
Come on. I didn't even say I need no training. I know you. Mm-hmm. I'm making sure that you're doing the right thing. But and the main reason I'm like this is because it's all the coaches I had. High school, college, professional. I've had coaches that care about you as a player and as a person.
Yeah.
So I think that I just feel that it's my job to do the same. Because even though we know all 18 to 22-year-olds know everything, we're here just to give you a little bit more knowledge and experience.
Yeah. So you got a coaching job at Seton Hall, correct?
Seton Hill.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what was that transition like coming from the high school level?
It was the thing about it, it was a transition. But because of the coaching staff that I was on, like my head coach at the time, the head coach in DC, the way he had things structured and set up, as long as you followed that, you never come.
Yeah.
And like that's kinda how I follow and do things today. Like mm-hmm. I was lucky. I was one of those people, I was around people who was gonna help me progress. Which is the most important thing, because you hear all these horror stories.
Yeah.
Those are people who help me progress. And the way I was able to progress was follow this regimen
mm-hmm.
and make sure that you understand you're always learning.
Yeah.
So every year you need to be learning from someone new, which got me into Zoom meetings, just reaching out to coaches and stuff like that. So every year I'm always trying to go here and go meet with somebody to learn something.
Yeah.
Last year I was lucky enough, met with the staff at North Dakota State. Learning from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always trying to learn something new.
Yeah.
The more you know, the better. Because you don't stop learning until the day you die.
For sure. So how long were you at Seton Hill?
I was a senior year for a year. The previous year they went 0-11. That year we went 1-10. So they didn't renew the coaching staff. I was mm-hmm. only there for a year.
Yeah.
I was there for year to won the game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, let that be known. he won the game.
So yeah, they didn't renew our contract. Mm-hmm. So then went home, couple of the coaches ended up at Clarion, reached out to me, wanted to know if I want to come out there. I'm like, got enough to.
Yeah.
So I went out there, same thing, coaching, doing what we're doing. My last year there, we needed to like change the whole like our defense environment mm-hmm. and everything. We brought in like 39 guys. And it was hilarious. When we brought in these guys, everyone's like, holy crap. You guys are bigger, stronger, faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's called recruiting.
Yeah.
It's called recruiting. So, I mean, it was, so far college has been a blast. Mm-hmm. And the main reason is because I've been around good coaches, been around good programs, so good schools, good coaches, and good players. And that's the most important part. And the thing about it when it comes to coaching, like, I hate it when people say, oh, this kid's not a good kid. What do you mean by your kid? Well, he has an attitude. Does he actually have an attitude? Or do you bring it out?
Yeah.
One more I've been around kids, the ones who love football, some of them wear it on their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
When they wear it on their sleeve, to me it's okay. Because I was that type of guy.
Yeah.
I wore it on my sleeve. Football allowed me to be aggressive when I'm on the field. All that anger that was inside of me, why go to jail? When I just take it out on the ground from across the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what it did. So I can relate to some of these kids, but then some of them, they need somebody to look at them and go, look.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not how you do this. If you keep doing this, cause and effect.
Yep.
Don't want that effect. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more beautiful than watching a young man do the same thing I did when I was growing up. Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Turn into something more beautiful than you thought it could be. Then they look back at you and go, coach, I want to thank you for everything. And I told my coach, just chop it up with another day on social media. Coach, nah, I won't worry about you. They had no choice. He's yelling at me all the time.
Yeah. So, how was your time at Clarion, and how long you were there? What, two years?
3 years.
3 years?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that was great about being in Clarion was another place that I was at that I had to get my game up.
Yeah.
And it was guys there who weren't getting what they needed. So I made them a promise. You learn the defense, or if you just do what I ask you to do, what you want, you're going to get. And a lot of the guys, which I, whatever. But then the guys who did, they started seeing the playing time go up, the ability to get on the field go up, and all mm-hmm. that other stuff. And it was just like,
Coach, you kept your word. I'm like, yeah, that's what you do in life.
Yeah.
You do your job.
Mm-hmm.
You do your job. You keep your job. That's how it works.
Yeah.
If you do a great job, you keep your job, get raised, get title. Yay. That's mm-hmm. how it all works. So this is how the type of person I am. My DC in college told me, if you learn the defense and you're athletic enough to help us, you can play. My defense back coach was like, I never had back call in college. I played defense in high school, I played defense and linebacker, so I never back call at all. I never worked on that. He gave me these drills and said, if you do these drills every day, you'll be able to play and you'll be able to help us out when you get on the field. So I did it. I was a man of my word. They were men of their words. It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I am. That's what makes me an athlete. I'm a man of my word. But I need all of my guys to do the same. Because the ones who do, going to be successful. The ones who don't, are going to complain.
Yeah.
Don't nobody care about you complaining.
Right. So you just got up here in the fall, and this is your first year here. So I know you haven't been here for too long, but I want to ask you how you liked it here so far, and how did you end up at West Liberty?
Well, I know that they were looking for a DB coach,
mm-hmm.
And they knew somebody who knew me. He reached out to me, and I was like, sure, I'd definitely love to come here. I was in a place that I was in a not-so-good place
physically
and mentally, so I was just like, yeah, I'd love to come here. So when I came here, I was just like, oh, crap, in the mountain. I was like, this is going to fall out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you grew up in Clarion with a couple of guys that were from West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and some of the things they would say, I was like, oh, crap, now I got to go deal with West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I get here, nice little campus tucked off in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
Meet the coaching staff, meet the players. The thing that I was excited about was the coaching staff was cool. And I was also excited about the fact that this was the best caliber of, like, college football athletes that I've been around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is going to be fun because we got a chance to win. Then I realized, we got guys who don't really care about winning.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for me to get to work.
So yeah.
Now we got to create an environment that's, you're going to be successful
yep.
when you try to win.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's what I've been doing so far. And the thing is that I want guys to understand that I'm going to be tough, but I'm going to be fair.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing that I can be. Because I can't allow you to be your biggest obstacle. Like, life already is going to be fight.
Yeah.
You can't be fighting yourself along with life.
So mm-hmm.
that's the biggest thing I try to bring to the guys. Some of them are starting to come around. Some of them probably hate my guy. Okay. Whole line of people.
Right? Yeah.
You got to get in line. You got to get in line.
So, did you take anything away from those previous coaching jobs that you think made you a better coach today?
Yes. Number one, never trust your players. Ever. No, I'm just playing. But I don't trust them at all. No, I don't. I love them, but I don't trust them. The most important thing to learn is you got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest. If a guy is not good enough, be honest with him, tell him what he needs to work on. And I'll always, like this, I will tell you what you're good at. I'll tell you what you're not good at. Tell you what you need to work on. Like, guys hate me because you make a good job. You did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. Good job. You need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just enjoy this? No! You can enjoy this in the season over with. Mm-hmm. Now I need to fix this. I'm always going to be honest with you. I'm always going to be fair with you. But the most important thing that I've learned from all my other previous jobs is to understand, even though we all know this, everybody's different. Everybody does things at a different pace.
Yeah.
So just allow it to come to you. Allow the guy, when he's not understanding, allow him to come to you. Make sure they got a good, comfortable, safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have to have a conversation, have a good conversation. And then always let everybody around you know exactly where they stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I let people know that. Now, what I ain't going to do, I'm not chasing nobody. I ain't holding your hand. You are now one step away from paying bills for the rest of
right.
your life.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody gonna hold your hand
mm-hmm.
when it comes to paying them bills. They're just gonna turn the power off. They're gonna come repossess.
Yep.
It's my job to make sure you don't have to work through that. But it's also my job to make sure that you understand that you are loved.
Mm-hmm.
That you have people who have your back. And as long as you're trying to like move forward, we got you. If you try to move sideways or backwards, we'll stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that I've learned from my previous job. Oh, and also football.
Yeah. That's all I got. So thank you, Coach Spencer, for coming in, taking the time out to do this interview. I really appreciate that. And West Liberty, this is all for this interview. Tune in for more. This is WGLZ 91.5.